Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if you haven't read in the El Portal, Lent has our first Sunday today, and during Lent we will be taking a journey through different places in the Holy Lands with the stories associated with those places, at the same time weaving in the aspects of the Lord's Prayer. Okay? It's going to be a fun journey. I'm excited. And especially excited because the Holy Land is fresh in my memory. And it's even fresher because this wonderful thing called Facebook Memories took me right back through that journey of the pictures that I had posted last year. But here it was just over a year ago that 17 of us began the journey while the sun was rising to get ourselves from LA to Newark and Newark to Tiberias. Because Tiberias was where our first stop was, where our first hotel was. And we got in super late at night. After traveling all day, it was dark, and so as we were driving that hour and a half on a bus to get from the airport to the hotel, there wasn't much that we could see. And really, for me, it kind of looked like everywhere else that we've seen. We got the big freeway that we're on and cars going like crazy despite being late at night, seeing buildings on the sides of the road, but it hadn't quite hit. And here we go into a hotel like most hotels that we've been in. And we head and we have a late night supper and we get into our rooms and we head to sleep. But then here what happens. We wake up in the morning and we get ready and we come down to breakfast. We head downstairs and we head into the breakfast room. And as you walk in and you turn, all you see is windows. And the shock hit. Because right outside these windows, just steps away from where we were standing, was the Sea of Galilee. And you just had to stop and take that moment in to realize just where we are. To realize where we were standing was a place that Jesus had stood. And it was just an awe-inspiring experience. But then it got even better. Because what happened that first day of one of the places that we got to go, we got to head down to the shore and we got to get into a boat. The 30-something people from our group that was four churches from around the United States, we got to get into this boat and we got to head out onto the sea. Oh my goodness. Out on the Sea of Galilee. This huge lake, and seeing all the towns around it, and just again, trying to absorb the impact of this moment. And we got out there, and we stopped in the middle of the sea, and we got to have a time of worship. We got to sing, and we got to open up the scripture, and we got to read about Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. We got to hear that story we'd heard all our lives for most of us. Who knows how many times over. And to have to realize that story we were in, that story we were on that sea in that boat. We took it in and we listened to the scripture and we sang and we prayed. And then we just got time on the sea. And off the boat went to give us some time around it. And as they were doing that, the captain put on some worship music. You can never go wrong when you play Chris Tomlin, in my mind. But here's some familiar worship songs came on. And most of the group, you could tell the jet lag was there, the tiredness was there, and most people were just sitting on the benches around the boat, just kind of taking it in. But then at the end of the boat, what's there but Torrance First? Guess what? Torrance First couldn't just sit there taking it in. What happened? But slowly a few first and then more and more began to get up and sing and dance and do hand motions to Lord, I lift your name on high. There wasn't the ability to just sit and take it in. There needed to be the praising and the worshiping and the celebrating where we are. And we brought God into that boat. Amen? And the rest of the group kind of looked and said, who in the world did we get put on a bus with all week? But you know what? Our bus captain and her husband, the ones that coordinated kind of what we were doing and let us know and leading devotions each day, I saw them when I was in Florida in January. And the first that I saw, bus captain Cindy and husband Jeff, they said, guess what? We're getting ready to head back to the Holy Land. And I said, that's amazing. They said, this will be our 8th trip to the Holy Land. But the memory that sticks the most out of 7 trips is your group dancing and praising on the boat in the Sea of Galilee. That Sea of Galilee, singing and praising and worshiping. We look in the scriptures and we read Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. And to give you a little perspective of the Sea of Galilee, let's look around it. When we look to the northwest of this kind of heart-shaped sea that's at one of the lowest places for a freshwater body to be, at the northwest, what do we have? But we have the home to the religious Jews. What do we have? We have Galilee. We have Capernaum and Bethsaida and Magdala and Gennesaret. Places that we hear in stories of Jesus being and healing and teaching. A center of Jewish faith. But then we move to the northeast, and we have Gamla, which is a town that the Zealots called home. When we move to the west, we get Tiberias. Tiberias that was named and frequented by Herod, a place where very few religious Jews would dare to live. And finally, to the east, we have Decapolis. I'd ask Becky to pronounce this first service because my tongue is just saying I don't want to pronounce this today. But what's there? But 10 cities that were the home to pagans and Hellenistic Jews. 4 major places around the sea. And what do we hear? Like today's scripture, we hear Jesus teaching and healing and setting foot in each of these 4 places. And then what do we hear? Jesus getting in a boat and moving to the other side. Why getting in a boat and traveling to the other side? We learned that when we went there, that it's much faster to take a boat and go directly across than try to negotiate the roads to get around. And so Jesus found the most efficient way to get from place to place to do the work that he was called to do. It's no wonder some of the first disciples he called were fishermen that knew that sea and had connections to boats. But our scripture this morning, we hear just that, as Scott said. It says at the beginning of chapter 4, it says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. And the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, and he taught them many things. So here the crowd gathered along the lakeshore. Wherever he went, these crowds would gather, right? They just needed to hear what he had to say. They needed to see what he was going to do. And so the crowd was so big that he got in a boat and pulled back and taught from there. And then as we get into our scripture this morning, it said, when evening came, he said, let's go to the other side. It's time to move and keep teaching. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Don't grab your stuff. Don't go pick anything up. But just as they were, take the boat and let's get to the other side. Now it's evening and Jesus had been teaching all day, obviously needing his rest, and Jesus falls asleep in the stern of the boat. And unaccustomed to the Sea of Galilee, a storm begins. These hillsides all around it, the winds will come down from the hills and pull up the squalls. Storms have been known to come and go on the Sea of Galilee with waves up to 10 feet high that will do damage to the towns around the shore. One of those storms hits. The winds and the waves start rocking the boat. The water starts coming in, and these disciples start freaking out. And they're freaking out, and Jesus is sleeping. And they're worried for their life, and Jesus is sleeping. And they finally wake him up and call him apathetic, right? How is it that we are on the verge of death, that this boat is going to go down and we are going to die? And what are you doing? But you don't care. You're just sleeping. How is it that you can sleep through this storm? Have you ever had that person in your life that it's time to freak out over what's going on and they're just calm and content? And it's like, how can you be calm at this time? How is it that you can just have that peace with what's going on? There's something in them that just helps them keep that cool and be able to have faith that that storm's going to pass. Well, here's Jesus in the boat doing just that. And when they start questioning him, what is his response? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? We're early in his ministry, chapter 4. But what he's been doing, they've been witnessing and seeing that he's not an ordinary man. They've been seeing the power of who he is and what he's capable of. And he's saying, do you still not trust in who I am and what I can do? Do you still not realize who you are following? And with three simple words, Jesus takes care of that storm. Three simple words. Quiet. Be still. And the text tells us he says these words, and the winds die down, and the waves cease. And the boat calms. Just like that. The power of Jesus is simple words that even nature obeys. So here we are at the beginning of Lent. Here we are at the beginning of our journey to the cross, the beginning of our journey to Easter. We've gotten in the boat with Jesus, and it's time to go. And now we figure out what this journey's going to be, where our hearts are going to be, where we're going to turn, what we're going to get out of this. For some of us, going in the boat has a rocky start. We can already feel the waves. We can already feel the wind. We can already feel the trouble that's around us in life. For some of us, it's calm right now. For some of us, it's life as usual. But who knows what's around the corner? But who's in the stern? Who's in control? It's Jesus in that boat with us. As we look at the Lord's Prayer, as we weave it in today, the very beginning of the prayer, what do we say? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, holy, set apart. The name of God that's above any other names. God that uses 10 different names within the Old Testament. A name for every instance, a name for every purpose. It seems one word cannot describe and embody God within it. But theologian Jürgen Moltmann, he says, God is a wayfaring name. Wayfarers, those who navigate the seas, those true wayfarers, They don't need compasses and devices and technology. They just have it in their bones that they know where they're going. They have the ability to know where the shore is when nobody else can see it. They can have that calm like Jesus when everyone else is freaking out. So here we have God. Holy is your name, the name of the wayfarer, the one that says that he will navigate us through the storms, the one that says that he can bring peace and calm when it seems the boat is rocking and about to sink. The name of the wayfarer that knows exactly where the shore is when we cannot see it. And in Proverbs, it tells us, the 18th chapter, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. A strong tower has protection. A strong tower has stability. A strong tower has safety that surrounds us. But what does it say the righteous has to do? Run into it to be safe. So as we're going through life, as we're going through our journeys, as we're going through Lent or our everyday, and the boat starts rocking, trouble starts coming, where do we run? Do we run into ourselves, thinking we need to pull ourselves up from our bootstraps, that we need to be the ones to handle it? Or do we follow what the Proverbs say? Do we do like the disciples, and when trouble and challenges face us, do we run to the name of the Lord? Do we take the Lord's Prayer and get on our knees and say, God, you are the Holy One that has the name above all others. In you I trust to calm this storm. In you I trust to navigate these waters and get me to the other side. Is God the one we're seeking in trouble? Is God the one whose name, when things are good, that we are singing and dancing and praising and saying, holy are you for the blessings I receive right now? Because that's what God desires of us, for us to call his name, for us to remember the name of the Lord and all that is embodied in it. That which is blessing us, that which is protecting us, that which is caring for us, that which is guiding us, that which is there for us no matter what. Holy God is your name. Throughout the scriptures, we hear the names of children and the meaning behind them. And Danielle Schroyer tells us that when these children are named, the desire was not that they would live up to that name, but that they would live into that name. Jesus, whose name was given to his parents by the angel Gabriel, he who saves. And Danielle Schroyer tells us that of that name, he embodies it, fills it up, holds the whole world inside of it. In his name, we are saved. In his name, we find our way home to God. Thy name is a wayfaring name. Jesus, who desires to be the name that leads us back to God. Jesus, the name that desires to save us. Jesus, the name that desires to find us at our lowest points and put us back on our feet. Jesus, the name that desires to dance and have joy with us. Jesus, the name that was sent from God for us. There's power in the name. And this Lent, I challenge us to put that name above all names, to find the way that we are praising that name daily, to find the way that we are praying to that name daily, to find the way that with faith that we are lifting up all of our needs and desires and worries and stresses into that name. For that is what God desires, for us to be connected, for us to be seeking, for us to allow God to be our navigator, to get us from one shore to the other. My friends, will you pray with me? Gracious God, we go on so many journeys in our life, packing suitcases and driving or flying to all sorts of places. But if the greatest journey that we take is not in a car or a plane or a boat or a train, but the greatest journey that we take is the journey of life that we take with you. And we know we like to be in control. We know that we like to take care of ourselves. But we pray that we have the faith and the strength to allow you to be the navigator of our journey, to seek for you to be the one that guides us, to seek for you to be the one that calms the storms when they rise up, to seek for you to be the one that plans the celebration when life is good and we are feeling its blessings. For they're all the plans and preparations that we can make, but none compares to what you are capable of doing in our lives and through us. So may this journey of Lent be one where we draw closer to you, closer to your Son, Jesus Christ, and closer to a relationship where we rely fully on you and put our faith in your capabilities and your love for us. For all of this, we pray in your most holy name, the name above all names. Amen.